Feels like everybody's a little closer this morning this way. That's a good thing, I guess. I think, what's that? Yeah, you're closer, brother, yeah. One thing I realized this week, and when we gather together to worship, is that God is good. It just is nice to come into his presence, and I don't have to always sing. Sometimes I can just be meditating and praying while the rest of you are singing. But it's just good to be in his presence and know that he loves us and he's here for us. Heavenly Father, we need you. Too often we try to do things on our own, and we realize it doesn't always work. I learn that at work, I think, every week. But Holy Spirit, we ask for your guidance this morning as we look at your word, as we look into the scriptures. Open our hearts. Help us to understand. Speak to each of us individually, because you are the one that has to minister to us. This is your church. It's not our church. It's our job to be obedient to you, and then you can work through us. That's the way church should work, Father. And so we ask for that to happen this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the way you work in our hearts and lives. In your name we pray, amen. I had a busy week this week, and I think Tuesday evening I was going to do something, and I stayed home to finish this, seeking the Lord's will. So I had all thoughts together, and then Wednesday morning I had to put it on paper somehow. I don't know if you've ever gone through that, but it's not always easy. And so, well, what do you want me to do, Lord? And I thought it'd be good to just go over some of the things that we're doing. This is the last morning that we're talking about Acts chapter 2, verses, I think, 40 to 47. And some of the things we talked about over the last couple of months that we were teaching on were things that were important to the early church. Acts 2, 40 to 47 is when the church was first starting. After the Holy Spirit had come, Peter had preached his message, and then these are the things the church was doing that was important back then, and it's important for us today. So we talked about evangelism, we talked about teaching, we talked about fellowship, we talked about serving, we talked about prayer. And as I was reviewing this, I looked, and this morning the topic is we're supposed to talk about worship. And it's kind of interesting because the 2 weeks before that, I wasn't studying worship at all. The Holy Spirit had put something on my heart, and I'm thinking, well, now what am I going to do? Am I supposed to teach in worship? But I really sense the Holy Spirit was kind of reprimanding me, saying, why don't you think about this? This is what is the most important thing for the early church. It's the most important thing for each of our individual lives today. It's the most important thing for us as a body here at New Beginnings. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about a person, and we call this person, we used to call it Holy Ghost, now we call it the Holy Spirit. And if I ask you about Jesus, you can probably tell me a lot of things. If I ask you about God, you can tell me a lot of things about God. What can you tell me about the Holy Spirit this morning? Like, what comes to your mind? This is your time. What comes to your mind when you think about the Holy Spirit? Your heart? Within us? Comforter, counselor, guides us, teaches us. He does all.
We have him because Jesus went to the Father. He said, I won't leave you alone. I'll send you a comforter.
Right. This morning, we're going to look at a scripture from Ephesians. It's chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. I forgot to write this down this morning, so if someone has that and they'd like to read it, you can go ahead. We're going to mainly be looking at one verse, verse 18, but we're going to read the whole passage there. Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. Someone.
Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. Is that the right? Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Okay, there's five things from verse 18, I think, five points that I have for this morning. The first one is, and we see this in the other verses that Kathy read, is that being filled with the Holy Spirit will always produce a change in your life. When you accept the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit dwells within you. It comes into your life. But when the Spirit fills you, it makes a change. And so some of those things we can see in verse 15 and 16, it talks about being wise. The Holy Spirit can give you wisdom, and it helps us make the most of every opportunity. When you think about that, that's pretty obvious or pretty awesome. Sometimes we might not have too many opportunities with people. We might get a chance to talk to a person one time, but the Holy Spirit will help you make the most of that opportunity when you talk to that person. Verse 17, it says that we'll be able to understand the Lord's will for your life. And I had to think about that one a little bit because I certainly don't understand why the Lord wants me to do some things sometimes. And it doesn't say that we'll know that. And we don't need to know that, but we need to understand what he wants us to do. Do you understand the difference there? If God asks us to do something, it could make no sense at all, but we just need to do it and trust him because he's asking us to do that. So when we have a connection with the Holy Spirit, he helps us understand exactly what God wants to do, wants you to do with your life. It wants you to do what wants to minister to people, what he sends you to do, what he asks you to do, what he prompts you to do. If you're at work and he asks you to talk to a person and say something specifically, you don't need to know why, but you just need to be obedient. Verse 19, I think we do a good job at this here at New Beginnings, but worshiping the Lord. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I think we heard a little bit of that this morning, just in some of the comments that people made. But he doesn't want us to just worship on a Sunday morning. It's something that should be a part of our life throughout the week. Often I think I'm out at work and a song comes into my mind. I just kind of think about it, hum it. No, it ministers to me. It's something that needs to be part of our life, not just on a Sunday morning, but the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. Verse 20, I think, is a tough one. It says, always give thanks to the God. He wants us to always have a thankful heart with our Father. We talk about prayer concerns often, and that's a good thing on a Sunday morning, but we also give thanks. We need to be focusing on thanks. And I had to think about that maybe a month ago it was, I'm not sure. I was having one of those days at work where nothing kind of goes right and you do some things wrong that you shouldn't have and you have to try to scramble to get things done in time. And I was going to make a delivery and I went past Mannheim Christian Day School and their board they had, be thankful in all circumstances. I think that's from Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances because this is God's will through Christ Jesus. That's paraphrased. And so I thought, well, gee, I think I can be thankful in spite of the day I was having. It wasn't that bad. I could still be thankful to God for all the things he's done for me. But it was about the time the Groff boy was killed at mowing at, I think, Kreider's church. And, you know, that came into my mind, and I thought, Lord, could I be thankful if I lost a child? Could I be thankful? And yet that's what God is asking us, to be thankful in all circumstances. And I could be thankful if I had a child that died and went to be with the Heavenly Father and live for eternity in heaven. I can rejoice in that, but it still would be hard to be thankful. So in spite of our circumstances, God is asking us to be thankful. We should have a thankful heart. And that's a result of the Holy Spirit living in our heart. And then verse 21, it talks about being submissive. And if we go on after that, it gets into the scripture on wives being submitting to husbands and husbands loving wives. But as a body, we need to submit to one another. That means we're always thinking about other people, not ourselves. That's kind of hard sometimes, isn't it? It's easy to think about me, but sometimes it's hard to think about other people. Friday night, I was helping George move, and I thought, boy, I could be doing something else. But it was good just to be with George. And Jesse, the guy I work with, was helping, and we got it some done. I wouldn't say a lot, but there's a lot to do there. But it was just a blessing to be able to help him, and that's I sense that's what I was supposed to do, and I told George I'd help him. But we need to be thinking of others and not always about what we want to do. And then I want to go back to 18. There's one thing in 18 I think that's important as far as your life being changed by the Holy Spirit. And I had to think about, as I look at this, what does being drunk in wine and the Holy Spirit have in common? I never thought that those two things go together too well in that verse. I don't know how you feel. But I've never been drunk on wine or anything else. But I know some people who had life changes here who have been. So does someone want to tell me what it's like to be drunk in wine this morning? And it's okay.
I don't remember.
You don't remember.
That's
probably good. So I read some things, and you can confirm this, Nicole, if it's true, but that your emotions may change rapidly. You go from anger to love to, sometimes that happens without being drunk for me, but your emotions can change rapidly. Your behavior is altered. Is that true?
Yeah, very loud.
Speech could be slurred and tipsy. I remember when I was in volunteer service, one of the girls that worked where I was working, volunteering at, was drunk, and I think wanted me to go to bed with her that night. And, of course, I didn't, and she had to come back and apologize. But you do things when you're drunk and wine that you normally wouldn't do or you shouldn't do. And usually, being drunk in wine has a negative effect, but being drunk in wine influences your life. It alters what you're going to do. Do you see the comparison here? Paul is saying, don't do that. Don't do that, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should change the way I treat people. It should change the things I say. It should alter my life, to the point where people should see a difference, that I'm not the same as everybody else. So do you understand why Paul is using those two together? And so the Holy Spirit will produce a change in our lives, but it will do it in a good way. And that's what God desires. And so that's why Paul was saying that. The second thing I see in verse 18 is that this is a command. It's in the present tense. Paul isn't saying, oh, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit sometime. He isn't saying, well, it's good you were filled. What's he saying? Be filled. Be filled now. It's present tense. Christians need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Each one of us who love the Lord here need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When I was studying this, I came across a quote by John MacArthur. And he says that a literal translation of the Greek in this verse would say, this doesn't make any sense, you have to think about it, be being kept filled with the Spirit. Be being kept filled with the Spirit. Does that make any sense to you? Some translation will say, be continually filled. And that's what John MacArthur was saying. Be being kept means you're always being kept. Be in the state where you're always being kept, filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's something that happens continually in our lives. It's just not a once and done thing. And I had to think about that. If the Holy Spirit fills you to do something, and you do that, you're probably, it's not you doing it, it's the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit's leaving you in that sense and ministering to other people. And so we have to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit so we can keep ministering the way the Holy Spirit wants us to. The third thing it says here in verse 18, God doesn't say, Dean, go fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Or Nicole, go fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Can we fill ourselves? The third thing is that we can't. We can't decide when we get filled. Wouldn't it be great if we all said, okay, Sunday morning at 9:30, we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's going to change my whole thought life, my whole pattern. It's going to change everything I do. It's going to make our worship more awesome. Can you imagine if we all were filled at the same time? But we don't get to decide that. We might desire to be filled, but the Holy Spirit is the one that enters into us and fills us, wells up within us and fills us. We don't decide when we get filled, how we get filled. We have no control over that. We can't make it happen. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is something that God does. And so we need to rely on God to fill us. We can't do it ourselves. The fourth thing, this is kind of reading between the lines a little bit in verse 18. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't do it ourselves, but we have to be fillable, if that makes any sense. We have to be capable of being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's some things maybe we need to do, like we need to get rid of that drunkenness with wine so that the Holy Spirit can fill us. There's some things in our life that needs to go. I came across a neat illustration I'm going to use this morning, and maybe that'll help you understand this. For those of you who have been through cleansing streams, do you remember there's an illustration where it talks about our soul. Our soul is made up of three things. It's made up of our mind, what we think. It's made up of our will, what we purpose to do in our life. And it's made up of our emotions. Did I say that? Mind, will, and emotions. Emotions are what we feel. And so those three things together, cleansing streams had a little illustration where it had three circles that overlapped. And in the very center, a part of all three of those, when you ask, yeah, you're wondering what, we're going to play ping pong. When you ask the Holy Spirit into your life, it comes into your soul. And in the center of those three things are mind, will, and emotions. That's our essence, kind of. And so these ping pong balls represent parts of our life. Anger, maybe love, my pride, my lack of self-control, what I want to do, all the things that are in our lives when Jesus comes into it. They're still there, aren't they? And so this water represents the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I hope I don't make a mess this morning. And so if I pour this in here, did anything change? Did any of this stuff leave in my life? So when we ask Christ into our life, the Holy Spirit comes in, but all these things that keep us from being filled are still there. All the negative things that we have that we need to get rid of in our life are still there. And sanctification is the process of God making us holy. And so I think it's the process is getting rid of some of those things. So the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we start being filled and see what happens. Isn't that kind of neat? To make room for the Holy Spirit in our lives, some things have to go. And I think for me, sometimes it takes too long. The more the Holy Spirit, the less of me. Do you get the picture? I just think it's a really neat illustration of how God works in our life. And so eventually, When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, these things are not in our life anymore. They're just on the top. This is filled to overflowing. Do you see that? The Greek word that's used in verse 18, where it says be filled, is, okay, what in my paper? Pleroo. I'm not saying that quite right. But the point is, the meaning of that Greek word is make full, to fill up, fill to the full. This is completely full, filled to the brim. And so when it talks about being filled with the Spirit, slide this over again, hopefully the table doesn't. It talks about our lives being filled completely. And when they're completely filled, all this stuff's gone. And so that's what makes a difference in our lives. And then God can really use us and work with us. The last thing I see in verse 18 is, who is Paul writing the book of Ephesians to? Church in Ephesus. Is the church one person? So it's a plural command. So when this is given to the church, it's talking about each one of us in the church. We're all to be filled with the Spirit. We as a body need to be transformed together. Not only as individuals do we need to be transformed, but we as a body should be transformed together. And I don't think that happens too often in churches. That's why a church can split, because I think the coffee should be in the right and Nicole thinks it should be in the left out there. And we can have an argument over where the coffee and hot chocolate or the hot water should be. Something simple as that. And it doesn't matter if we have coffee or hot water. What matters is that the Holy Spirit's here, that the Holy Spirit's presence is here. And so if we would learn that as Christians all over the world, I don't think we'd have nearly the problems we do in churches. And can you imagine, did worship was pretty good this morning? Can you imagine what worship would be like if we all would be filled with the Spirit? Could you imagine the difference? That means we're getting rid of all of us, and nothing but Jesus is left. What an awesome morning that would be. I think sometimes the difference between a live church and a dead church is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit there or is it not there? And so you need to experience the Holy Spirit when you come on a Sunday morning. If you don't, there's a problem. It could be the church you're going to, and you maybe need to find another church, or it could be me. It could be yourself, you know, and then I need to reevaluate my life. I've been to Love Feasts already. Love Feasts is a big part of our Brethren heritage. Love Feasts are just an awesome experience. But I've been to Love Feasts where I got nothing out of it. Why do you think that was? You think it was because Chuck was leading that one? It was because of me. My heart wasn't right. I wasn't really connected with God the way I needed to be. And so we need to be connected to the Lord. We need to be filled with the Spirit. It makes a difference in how we look at things and how we do things. And so in ending today, just looking at these five things, the question is, are you willing to let the Holy Spirit control your life? There's three things I think we need to do. There's probably more than that, but three things I have this morning. We need to let the Holy Spirit control our life. Are you ready to do that? Well, for me, sometimes I think, I really like to keep my pride. It was a nice morning this morning. I think I want to go golfing instead of going to church. I like to be selfish. You know, I like to do what I like. I like my camper. I want to go every Sunday morning camping. I don't need to go to church anymore. I like my job. I'm just going to go work there Sunday mornings, I think. My kids are playing softball this morning. I want to go watch them. Do you see what I'm getting at? Greed in my life. Anger. And so if we don't let the Holy Spirit control ourselves and let worldly things come in, we start filling our life up with things that we shouldn't. And so the first thing is, are we willing to let the Holy Spirit control us? Because if we let worldly things take over, it's going to hinder the Holy Spirit working in you. The second thing that we need to do, if Luann would announce this morning that Jesus Christ in the flesh is going to be at Teen Central tonight at 7 o'clock to speak to us, how many people would want to go? And I'm thinking, boy, we better get there at 5 o'clock because this can only hold so many people. Can you imagine how many people would want to get in here? What if I said the Holy Spirit's coming to speak? Would that excite you as much as Jesus? I mean, I often thought in my life, wouldn't it be neat to have been alive when Jesus walked on this earth? That would have been an awesome thing. And yet, I don't often feel that way about the Holy Spirit. And I should. Because what did Jesus say to the disciples? He said that, you know, I think in the beginning of Acts, he says, wait here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And earlier when he's with them, he's telling them that, I'm going to send somebody when I'm gone, which they didn't understand he was leaving yet. I'm going to send somebody who's going to be with you, and you're going to be able to do even greater things than I did through the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Jesus saying things like that to the disciples? And so why am I wishing I could have lived when Jesus lived, when I can live when the Holy Spirit's here, who's better than Jesus? They're both God. And so we need to spend time with the Holy Spirit. We need to be in contact with the Holy Spirit. We need to ask Him to guide you on a daily basis. Sometimes I ask Him at work, well, should I pray for this person, or what should I pray, or what do you want me to do? And if I have too much of this stuff in my life, I may not quite hear right, but at least I'm going to try to do what He's asking me to do, because we all have some of this stuff here, I think, yet that needs to go. So we need to ask for boldness to tell others about Jesus. We need to ask Him to reveal Himself to us. We need to be a good listener. On Thursday night, we were at a banquet with Align Life Ministries, and at the end of the banquet, the president of their board got up and shared that, you know, they're really seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking God to direct the ministry. And so one of the things you have to be able to do if you want to hear from the Holy Spirit is be a good listener. I should have looked it up. I remember watching, I don't know if Mike did it, probably Mike if it was in a video. I remember seeing a video of a skit where they were, one person was Jesus and the other person, wasn't that just a couple, do you remember that? I don't know if you were here. Coffee with Jesus. And so it was this man that came in, and Jesus is sitting at the table, and he tells Jesus all about his day, all about what he wants Jesus to do, and Jesus just, you know, and never gave him a chance to talk. Didn't listen to Jesus once. Sometimes I think I talk too much. My wife would probably agree with that. Sometimes we need to be good listeners. And so the board of the president said he was asked to close with prayer on Thursday night. And he said that we're just going to spend time with the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And so it was a long, long period. It was just quiet. And I kind of enjoy that sometimes. But it got a good point across. If we want the Holy Spirit in our life, we need to be listening to Him. We need to be a good listener. The last thing I have that I think the Holy Spirit revealed to me was we need to be obedient when He asks you to do something. We talked a little bit about this before. Say Mike and Luann, they're going to the Holy Lands in, I don't know when yet, January. Say that, you know, that's really an awesome place to go to, and they decide to stay the whole month of January. They're going to be gone a whole month because it's just going to be a great time walking where Jesus did. And so the first Sunday that Mike happens to make the coffee and the hot water, most mornings, I believe. Chuck might do it now. Well, say Mike is still doing it, and Chuck would come to me and say, "Hey, Scott, Mike's not here. Can you make the coffee and get the hot water?" And, "Sure, Chuck, I'll do that." And then Glenn came in Sunday morning, and there's no coffee, and he's going, "Oh, no coffee this morning. That's odd." And so the next Sunday, Chuck asked me, "Hey, would you make the coffee and hot water?" And then Deb comes in and wants to get coffee, and there's no coffee. So Chuck asked me the third Sunday, and then Claire and Merle wonder where the coffee's at because there's no coffee. Do you think Chuck's going to keep asking me? So the fourth Sunday, he asked Justin to do it because Justin, and there was coffee for everybody. But do you get the point? If we're not responsive when the Holy Spirit asks us to do something, he'll find someone else to do it. We need to be obedient when he asks us to do something, even when it makes no sense. Because the Holy Spirit reveals to us what he wants us to do, but he doesn't tell us why. We talked about that a little earlier. And so there's three things that we can work on that will help us. I think we all need to get rid of some stuff here like this yet. I think you'd agree with that. And so it's something we can work at together. But just imagine the benefits and the fruits of that as a body if we all could work in that and be filled with the Holy Spirit more. I think in closing, I always hesitate to do this, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's prompting me, is ask if you have any questions or any comments, or did the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning and something you'd wanted to share? So we can do that because we're small here. So any questions, comments?
I like your comment about saying we all wish we would have walked on this earth the same time Christ did, but yes, he gave us the Holy Spirit, so in essence, we have something better.
I think that's common in the church today. I think we're all in that boat.
It's good to recognize that we can have things cleaned out and subtly we can let things come back in again. So let's just pick on unforgiveness. You know, we can work with that and then we can subtly let that back in again. Mm-hmm. And we need to recognize that so we stay
and we're in this together. I mean, it's not easy because Satan's always there trying to trip us up. And so you can ask questions that maybe no one will know the answer to, but we'll work at it together. So don't be afraid to ask anything. That's good. I think I'm anticipating next week we might have three groups of two people maybe that go out, and I think that'll be part of the problem for us because we need to learn to discern who we're to talk to, who is ready to have a seed planted, who is ready to have the gospel. We don't know that. So we have to rely on the Holy Spirit, and that's, we have to do some of these things, I think, to get rid of some of this stuff so he can fill us, so we understand him a little better, because one of the things he will tell us. So, and sometimes we think we hear and we'll do it, and you might mess up, but you have to try to do what you think the Holy Spirit's saying. Maybe you weren't ready at that point, you and Deanna, to go in the midst of all that evil. It wasn't the people, the evil of Satan being in that, the presence of Satan there. But yeah, that's, the Holy Spirit can empower us and enable us to do that. But we're all going to face things like that, I think. One of the things, again, we learned this in cleansing streams. I think we talked about it a little bit at Men's Bible Study Wednesday. I think that we were taught three different ways that the Lord speaks to us. I couldn't think of the most one of the most important ones on Wednesday, but Claire brought it up then. If the Holy Spirit tells us something, other Christians can confirm that sometimes. It's not like, Dave, do you think God's telling me to do this? But God, Holy Spirit might work through Dave to tell me something that confirms what God is speaking to me. And then Claire, you brought up scriptures. The scriptures is the third way. So if the Holy Spirit is asking you to do something, you're not sure if it's the Holy Spirit or not, well, it needs to be confirmed with scripture, and it needs to be confirmed with another person. And sometimes, in your case, it was instant. You might have had time to go through that process. And so, yeah, it's sometimes we can spend time in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit how to guide us, but those are three ways that we can confirm it. Other Christians, the Word, and the Holy Spirit promptings.
Whether Joanne heard right or not, she might have heard right, and maybe they weren't supposed to say, and maybe she missed it, but I think God's pleased that they even asked.
Yes, very. That's a good point, Joanne. Thank you.
You thanked him. When's the last time you asked him questions? So it's good that we ask and talk. Mm-hmm. I talk to him like it's a person sitting next to me. I just kind of, how I just do it. And don't always get answers, but I recognize his presence in my life. And I think sometimes when we do grieve him, we can also quench him. It says, don't quench the Spirit of the Lord. I think when we purposely ignore him, when you sense him saying, quench him as well as grieve him, and none of that's good. And so, but he's patient with us. I mean, I say, why you dummy? But he's patient. But yeah, we need to be knowing that he wants that interaction. I know I always quote the last scripture in Second Corinthians where it says, fellowship or the koinonia of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about that, the grace of God and the love of Christ and the communion with the Holy Spirit, the koinonia, the fellowship. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. The interaction with us. So give him what he wants. He wants that.
Those are some things that confirms the Holy Spirit's a person. Yeah. Because we can grieve him, we can disappoint him, we can... And I have trouble with that sometimes just because, well, Jesus, you know, and God's our Heavenly Father. We don't have a name for God, but it seems sometimes, well, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? But I wish I had a name for him sometimes. guess we could call him the Comforter, or, but.
Last week when Heather was here, and our two boys, two teenage boys, and they can act like brothers, and teenage brothers, and there were times when I just, you know, how do I keep from talking to the Holy Spirit? Because he's there, he's the only way, and I would just say, Lord, we need some peace in this house. Now, I'm not sure that it was always peaceful, but it did end, and on a good note. But I ask him for everything. And if you would hear me, I'm alone at home most of the time. If you would hear me, I sing the dumbest things. Even I couldn't find the towel the other night. Oh, I was irritated with myself. Well, he helped me find it. Okay, but I kept saying, Lord, where is this towel? You know where it is. I can't figure it out because I know it was here and here and here and here. And it wasn't out of the house or out of our view.
So when you're talking to the Lord, are you talking to the Holy Spirit? Are you talking to Jesus? Are you talking to God?
All of them.
Yes. So then why differentiate?
As I'm concerned, you don't have to. Jesus is our intercessor, and if the three of them are all together as one, that I don't differentiate. I just say, Lord, help me know whatever.
I'm just asking that because we're talking about grieving the Holy Spirit. If we're praying to God, aren't we praying to the Holy Spirit too?
That's a good question, because I did think about that a little bit, but Jesus was different. He was a man. He was on this earth, and we refer to Jesus. Oftentimes, I think you're right, Colleen, we're referring to all of them. But I think Larry has a good point, too. I mean, the Holy Spirit is here now. It's a piece of God is living in each one of us that's accepted him. And so I tend to do what you do, I'll say, Lord, in that, but I'm really talking to the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can pray to our Heavenly Father. I think Jesus is interceding. We can pray to Jesus, but I think our main contact here on earth is the Holy Spirit, and I get confused about that whole thing too, but I think that that's a good point for us to remember that the Holy Spirit is what's living inside of you. That's a part of God that lives in you, and so that's the one that empowers us, comforts us, does all those things for us, and so we need to talk to him specifically at times, and I think that would be helpful. But but think about that and pray about that, because that's a good point that I struggle with sometimes too. Who am I talking to? There's, because God is all one, but God is so far above us that we don't begin to understand him. When we get to heaven, I don't think I'll have a clue.
Why bother?
Exactly.
Why bother as far as... Yeah.
I just talked to him.
I thought about it a long time ago. Every time I pray, I didn't know if it was right or wrong, but every time I pray, I go, Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, three in one.
I think we all understand what we're saying here, but we need to focus on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is there to empower us and help us, and so it's not wrong to just ask the Holy Spirit. I mean, so a couple times we've said already that this week, ask when you wake up in the morning, ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? You're still talking to God, just as when people talk to Jesus, they're talking to God. That would be harder for me to understand, I think, than the Holy Spirit, because Jesus had given up some of his godly traits, coming being a man. He wasn't omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is with all of us. Doesn't matter where we're at. We can be far apart, and he's still with each one of us. Jesus couldn't do that. So there is some differences, but... That's still... The Holy Spirit is still God. So yeah, it's confusing, but...
Which...
Holy Spirit. It's confusing.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. But I
do what I do, you got your bases covered.
I'm looking at the scripture here from Matthew 6. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go away by yourself, all alone, and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father secretly, and your Father who knows your secrets will reward you. Reward you, period. Don't recite the same prayer and then go along. Pray these lines, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Okay.
When you
go in another room.
When you went to your I understand that. You can pray any place. You don't have to be in a separate room. But there are times you can go to a secret place of prayer. Father and Mom, are you giving me this stuff? Or we could ask Father and he would give us stuff. Our mother would give us stuff.
And I think too, God knows our hearts. That's right. So whether you pray, I think if our hearts are right, then that's one of the things that Jesus does for us is interprets our prayers. And as far as going into you can go in a closet inside. You can just be quiet and pray inside with your eyes open as you're driving down the road. So I think being by yourself and praying secretly as opposed to standing up and saying, hey, did you see how I'm praying?
So in the very beginning, Genesis says the Spirit was over the waters. So the Holy Spirit and Jesus, I think, were with God at the very beginning because he knew everything. And so the three parts of God, I don't know if we can really explain that to anybody, how that all works, because I don't think we understand totally. But Jesus came to die for our sins. We know that. He came as a human being. That was totally different. He didn't come as a God. He came as a human being. And so there's an essence of Jesus that's a little different, I think. The Holy Spirit came after Jesus. Jesus is still around. He's up still praying for us, interceding. Jesus' whole ministry was to point people to his heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to point us to Jesus. And God works in our lives through the Holy Spirit. So it's just like a big circle when you think about it. I don't think I can't explain it to you, even if I do all kinds of studying. I think in heaven we'll understand it a little bit, but I think a large part of eternity will be learning about our Heavenly Father. It's just an awesome thing. He's way above what we can imagine or think. Or
thought for you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if we try to separate the two, we're only going to drive ourselves nuts.
Yeah. And so, the same thing is, I'm a father, I'm a son, and I'm a grandfather. Still one person. Well, my dad isn't living anymore, but some of you can say that and have all three living yet. So, yes, but yeah, we shouldn't try to separate them, but the Holy Spirit has unique gifts that he can give us. And so that's how God is ministering to us and living in us.
There, I like what you said. The Holy Spirit has its own unique gifts. But when we try to separate them, I don't like that.
Yeah. But they're different. They have different functions for us, yeah.
Father and a grandfather.
Yep. When the disciples were on earth with Jesus, I had to think, they spent every day with him. They were talking, interacting for 3 years, but they still prayed to God, and they didn't understand at first that Jesus was God, but they came to understand it. So yeah, it's, we don't want to separate them, but we can, because they're different giftings for us, but it's still all God.
To children about the
That's a good.
I think it's a good image.
My brain a little bit.
There is a children's book that explains it as an apple, not an apple pie, but an apple. The skin is the protecting part. That's God. The flesh is Jesus, and the seed is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I've heard egg be used for the same thing too. I guess the lesson we learn is that we need God in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Jesus' blood shed for us. It all works together for good.
And you don't give up. You know, if you don't find the answer right away, just you need to wait. Keep praying, but you wait. Gotta have that patience. I do.
We were a McDonald's society that we want it now. And so that's a good lesson for us. We need to learn to wait, yeah. And sometimes the answer is no when we ask for something. Yep. Well, thanks for your sharing. Hopefully that was helpful to you all. It was to me. So let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we need you. We've learned that long ago. We can't do it ourselves. And when we try, it gets messy sometimes. It doesn't work out. And so help us to learn to just trust you. Help us to take time seeking your will. Help us to take time just to spend with you. Help us to be good listeners. Help us to be patient. But we do ask, Father, that you just work through us this week. We aren't much of anything without you. And so our job is just to be obedient to you and let you work through us. And so we just pray that we'll be able to do that as a body this week, that you will work freely through us, that you will just minister through us. We look forward to the challenges you bring us this week. And so go with us now as we leave this place. Give us boldness, give us great love, and give us patience, is what we ask in your name.